In a little bit, we're going to receive communion together. Why don't you turn with me? Let's look at the Christmas story for just a few moments. I don't think it'd be Christmas without looking at it. It's more than tradition. It's the Word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't this been wonderful? Thank you so much. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and look at verse 26. I hope you brought your Bibles. Kids can stay in. It's not a long service today, but it's a celebration of Christmas, and we wanted them to be a part of these Christmas carols. And we'll serve communion in just a few moments, in a little bit. Verse 26 of Luke chapter 1 says, "In the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She was old enough, she understood. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age." Of course, hers was not by the Holy Spirit. It was just natural. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now look at chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Hallelujah. Let me take a few more moments because we've got some time. And many of you have read our Christmas letter from 2021. We sent it back out again this year because we felt that it was ageless, timeless. But let me share this with you and then we'll have communion. Hallelujah. Everybody doing good? Thank you, Jesus. Dear friend, this was the name of this was 8 pounds that changed the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. December is a month that we celebrate Christmas, and this is the month that we commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ into the earth. One of the traditions of Christmas is giving and receiving gifts. But why? And where does this tradition originate? It goes much further than the legends of a man named Saint Nicholas, who was born around 2000 280 AD in the nation of what is now known as modern day Turkey. Saint Nicholas was known for giving away all of his inherited wealth. If you study him, it's true, that part. And traveled the countryside helping the poor and the sick. As wonderful a story as this is, the original giver at Christmas was God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And the original gift was Christ. John tells us in his gospel that God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift he could ever give to mankind, which was his only begotten Son. Surprisingly, and contrary to today's standards, this gift was neither airmailed nor delivered by Amazon. It did not come with glitz, sparkle, or glamour. It was not delivered to the doorstep of a palace, but it came special delivery from God, straight into an animal stable. It was then placed in the feeding trough of the cattle and sheep that were housed there. Luke 2:7 says this, and she, Mary, the mother of Jesus, brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Of course, we do not know the actual date or time of Jesus' birth. We just pick December's a good month. Nor do we have any record of his physical size. Today, parents usually know the sex and the baby before the child is born. And the first information they announce after the birth is the size, the length, and the weight. Let's just say for fun, and use an example that Jesus weighed 8 pounds at birth. That's a pretty typical, maybe it's a little big nowadays. Babies used to be bigger. That's a pretty typical weight for a bouncing baby boy. But this baby boy was anything but typical. He was the most unique 8 pounds that ever came into existence, lying in a manger. Jesus was and is the most unique, it's amazing, God is God, the Father on the throne, but Jesus has a uniqueness about him that even the Father doesn't, and this is what it is. Jesus was the most unique individual in the universe. In a very true sense of the word, we see deity coming to live inside a physical human flesh. John's gospel starts out by telling us how that deity transitioned into humanity. John 1:1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." All physical matter of the universe originates from something. In this case, it's not something, but rather someone. Physical matter did not come into existence through a cosmic explosion called the Big Bang, but rather through the second member of the Godhead. Remember, it said in John 1:3, it says, "All things were made for him, by him." It did not come, but rather through a second member of the Godhead, who is referred to by John as the Word. All things were made by him and for him. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him." So there we have it. 8 pounds lying in a manger, one that he himself, Jesus himself, in his deity, millennials earlier, created out of his own substance. But the most amazing aspect about this 8 pounds is that the Word teaches that he, the Word, laid down his deity for the purpose of redemption and humbled himself and became a man. Are you glad? Hallelujah. Philippians 2:6-8 says this, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found as in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." What we can understand from these verses is that the Word, who was God, and the one that we now call Jesus the Christ, actually altered his own person and chose to no longer function as God during his existence on earth. God was in the flesh, but no longer functioned as God. 1 Corinthians 15:21 says this, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead." Only by a sinless man could redemption be served. Only the last Adam could reverse the effects of the fall from the first Adam. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says this, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Thank you, Jesus. Only a man who had been quickened himself, having the life and the nature of God, could become the spotless lamb who redeemed us back to God. Only the birth of an 8-pound human being with the life and nature of God could once again reinstate the dominion of God through man over the works of the devil. Only the coming of an 8 pounds in a manger could set humanity free from sin, sickness, and poverty. God could not do it himself. The 8 pounds in a manger did not remain there, but grew up. He did not just grow up physically, but he grew up spiritually into maturity and into stature, and as the mature Son of God. He walked out his life in the flesh, baptized with the Holy Ghost and power. He became the Lord of the church and demonstrated to us the will of the Father for the church in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Where is our original eight pounds in a manger now? Once again, his form has been altered. He is the glorified Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. When John saw him in heaven in the book of Revelation, he described him in this manner. Revelation 1, 14 and 15. And his head of his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. And his eyes were a flame of fire. Now, when you get to heaven, that's not necessarily what you're going to... I mean, John saw this in a revelation. Somebody said, is that what Jesus... Not necessarily, but he is changed. And his feet, like the flame of fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. All of his deity, his godly attributes, are fully functional once again in his glorified humanity. John said of Jesus in Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet. And he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. We can most solemnly conclude that John saw and heard from Jesus that he is no longer a babe in a manger. So thankful that he came as a babe, but now he's my living Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is the Lord of the church and the Lord of the angel army of heaven. He is the fearful looking Savior, ready to serve vengeance on the enemies of the church. The Jesus with the eyes like fire is not afraid for his church. Aren't you glad? He is not afraid of the Antichrist liberal spirit that is trying to overthrow our nation, and he's not afraid for his church of any coming tribulation. But he's in a posture of expectation. What's his posture? Hebrews 10, 12 and 13 says, but this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. What is Jesus expecting? He is expecting that you and I will become spiritual conquerors, a conquering force in the earth. He is expecting that we will bring forth a great harvest through an outpouring of God's Spirit as we are calling in revival. Our Christmas baby grew up. He is no longer 8 pounds in a manger, but he is the Lord of the church, expecting something from us. When we give praise to God during this Christmas season for the coming Christ, or when we wish anyone a Merry Christmas, let us do it in the consciousness that 8 pounds in a manger changed the destiny of the world through his coming. Thank God for our Christmas gift from, thank you God, that has changed the world forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand this morning. Get ready. We're going to move this pulpit. Can you? Everyone is welcome to come down and receive this no closed communion. If you're born again and believe in Jesus and his resurrection, we're going to ask you to just come. As many as would like to stand around and receive it down here at the altar with us, or you can return to your seat. But wait till everyone is served, and then we will receive the communion together this morning. All right, you can come down. Hallelujah.